This is VK6ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West. Now on with the show.
So let's talk about buying equipment, new or used. When trying to get your shack equipped, you're torn several ways when it comes to spending your spondoola. The inner phobic tells you to buy all brand new. You know it costs more, but you have a big fat warranty to safeguard your investment. The short answer to that one, of course, is yes, it's true. Of course it is. You may, however, have looked at second-hand gear that's been advertised and realise that you can get more for your money. And of course, that's also true. So what are you worried about? Or if you're not worried, what should you worry about? With second-hand gear, it's a case of caveat emptor, buyer beware. You can get many years of good service from used, even old, equipment. So on the face of it, purchasing used gear is an economical good idea. Yes, it is. So how can you protect yourself? Firstly, never buy equipment with cash in hand from someone you don't know or can't identify. You have no recourse if the gear is dead on arrival or stolen. You can always ask to see the unit in operation, then you'll be covered against dead on arrival. However, you're still not protected against it being stolen, so you do need to know and remember who sold it to you. If buying from online sources, you could have some protection if you know that the seller is reputable. There are protections offered by payment services like PayPal or your credit card provider. Services like PayPal have a dispute protocol where you are protected against misleading descriptions, dead on arrival, non-supply, etc. A purchase paid for directly with your credit card can offer similar protections if the item is not delivered, is not as described, or is DOA. Something else you need to know about is that some retailers of new equipment are authorised resellers in Australia, and the equipment they sell is covered by the manufacturer's warranty. Some sellers import the equipment from outside of Australia and it may not be covered by the manufacturer's warranty. These sellers often offer their own warranty and you should satisfy yourself that you're reasonably protected under that warranty. By using some common sense and caution, you can stock up your shack for less than it would cost for all new gear with relative safety. However, if you are cashed up and want sparkly new stuff in your shack, go for it and please send us the photos. I'm Bob VK6POP.
Every week, News West is broadcast across Western Australia, Queensland, the Northern Territory, New South Wales, Tasmania and Victoria. In the past, we've acknowledged individual contributors, but the list is never long enough, never covers everyone who's making an effort, visible, audible or otherwise. So instead, thank you. Thank you for your time, your energy, your transmitter and your voice. Thank you for keeping the numerous repeaters up and operating. Thank you for your callbacks, for logging them, for sending them to us, and for being part of the community of amateur radio. If you'd like to help, you can. You can transmit the news, register callbacks, submit stories, record scripts, promote the news, or you can get in touch. Our address is newswest@vk6.net.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. One of the unexpected benefits of this hobby is how it provides you with the ability to connect to others in ways that are not directly related to radio. Take, for example, Steve. Steve appears at unpredictable times and locations, being hunted by citizens and scientists, and unlike Steve's potential invisible cousin, the Proton Arc, has been photographed by Aurora hunters many times. It looks like observations go back as far as 1705. In 2017, physics professor Eric Donovan saw some of these photos and got curious. Assisted with GPS coordinates from an aurora hunter in Alberta, Song Despens, Eric correlated the time and location, and it turns out that Steve was observed as a ribbon of gas 25 kilometres wide, 300 kilometres above Earth, with a temperature of 3,000 degrees Celsius by the European Space Agency SWARM, a constellation of magnetic field measuring satellites in orbit since 2013, and planned as a 4-year mission, so far it has almost managed 11 years. Steve? Yeah, it's not named after Stephen Hawking or Steve Martin. Rather, if you're seeing something unexplained, you might name it something less scary, like the hedge in the movie Over the Hedge. Steve was given a backronym, finding words after the fact. Strong Thermal Emission Velocity Enhancement. But I prefer Steve. The NASA team at Goddard Space Flight Center have adopted Steve, so it looks like a keeper. I would never have even stopped to read the recent article in the local news, let alone dig into the various publications, if it weren't for the notion that Steve is one of many phenomena affecting the ionosphere, and with it, our hobby. Here's another example. Vance, Kilo Victor 4 Papa, published a plan on kilovictor4papa.com outlining a $35 project that requires minimal soldering that makes any Android phone into a handheld radio for 2 meters. Using a radio module, a microcontroller, a short USB cable, antenna connector, antenna, and some sticky gel pads, Vance has come up with an open source project and circuit board design that will get you on your way. He's even designed a 3D printable enclosure, so you don't have to scare your friends with a bare circuit board. Whilst the Android app is in beta, that is, not quite fit for human consumption, you'll need to drop an email to Vance to get in on the action. Source code is on GitHub. I came across this project after breakfast, reading the Y Combinator Hacker News, which features all manner of weird and wonderful projects, links, and questions from all over the technology sphere. The post has expansive discussion on Vance's project, including thoughts on other ideas on how to do interesting things related to our hobby. Again, if it weren't for the fact that I'm already an amateur, I would never have taken more than a glance at this, and I would never consider that this was a doable project, let alone discover other amateur radio projects like Ham WAN and ARDEN, or the Amateur Radio Emergency Data Network. The point being that we as amateurs are often pigeonholed by society into the idea of obsolete, disconnected, and quaint. I'm here to tell you that our hobby has made me more alive than ever, more connected to others around me, more observant to electrical and physical phenomena, and if that makes me quaint, I'm okay with that. Also, while we're on the topic of being okay, Charles November Kilo 8 Oscar reached out and told me that after listening to me talk about FT8 and his Morse code achievements, he cracked up and then raised the stakes by pointing out that you can get on HF with CW, that's continuous wave or more commonly Morse code, for about $100, where a kit capable of SSB, single sideband or more generally audio, will likely set you back significantly more. His advice, which I cannot fault, get on the air. Presumably, to make some noise. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
You may recall that Mike Beale, VK6, Mike Bravo, died some weeks ago. Well, Mike's wife Brenda has told us that on the 8th of December, which is Mike's birthday, family and friends will be meeting at 11 a.m. at the North Mole in Fremantle, near the lighthouse, to spread his ashes. Anyone who's interested in this tribute to Mike is welcome to join in and pay your respects. So that's Sunday, the 8th of December, 11 a.m. at the North Mole near the lighthouse. We'll advertise it a few more times over the weeks just to remind you.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net, having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Reported in the Cumberland Argus and Fruit Growers Advocate, Parramatta, New South Wales, on the 6th of May, 1937, an item headed, The Amateur Radio Operator in Emergencies. From time to time, amateur radio experimenters have assisted the authorities greatly by supplying communications in times of emergency, it being practically a daily occurrence in the United States. In Australia, during the last 6 or 7 years, there have been several outstanding examples of this assistance. In April 1929, a severe storm swept Tasmania, blotting out road communications between Hobart and Launceston. In addition, the power in Launceston was cut out, so that radio communications direct between the cities was also impossible. However, the submarine cable between Launceston and Melbourne was intact, and messages were sent to Melbourne to be cleared. It was soon found that the commercial stations could not clear the traffic, and amateur stations 7 Delta Kilo and 7 Lima Juliet in Hobart and 3 Lima Sierra and 3 Romeo Juliet in Melbourne stepped in, and by using the 40-metre band during the day and the 80-metre band at night, continuous communication was held for many hours. Meantime, the Launceston stations, which had been off the air due to lack of power, purloined all the batteries available and re-established communications between themselves and the outlying stations. That is just one incident in which amateur broadcasters have justified their existence. In Western Australia, two things come to mind when considering the value of amateurs. Firstly, there is the work done from the Carnegie Magnetic Institute, and secondly, there is 6NK's work with Smith and Shears. Dealing with the former, the Magnetic Institute is situated at Wathaurou, 132 miles north of Perth, and is operated by a trust fund from the Carnegie Institute and links up with its work with the Department of Terrestrial Magnetism, Washington. Frequently, reports are necessary as the Magnetic Institute deals with atmospheric investigation as well as magnetism in the earth and ether. Owing to the enormous cost, it was found that both cable and commercial wireless was impossible. So federal permission was granted. The reports are now all handled on the amateur band by amateurs, there being definite clearing stations in the VK5s and VK2s. Traffic amounts to hundreds of words a week, and Washington usually gets the reports within 24 hours of preparation. In connection with the latter case, 6NK, Don Knock, 2NO, was operator at the Wyndham Meatworks radio station when he heard the SOS of Smith and Shears when they were forced down in their plane in the Kimberleys. He followed their signal for 2 or 3 days and sent out transmissions to them, not knowing that they didn't have a receiver, and also maintained communications with the rest of Australia in advising the disaster and subsequent discovery of the two men who would probably have died but for the picking up of the SOS on the short waves. Australian radio experimenters can claim wonderful achievements as a result of their conscientious experiments in shortwave radio transmissions and reception. On Tuesday morning, November the 4th, Mr. Caldecott, who operates amateur station VK2 Sierra Mike at his home in Manly, was testing out a new transmitter in company with another prominent Sydney experimenter, Mr. Hart, also of Manly, who operates VK2 Hotel Oscar. After they had the transmitter on the air, they called the general sign CQ on 40 metres, and on switching over to listen for any replies, they heard station VK6 Bravo Oscar, operated by Mr. Gray of Perth, WA, answer them and request that they take a message for the Superintendent of Telegraphs, GPO Sydney. All land communication was down between Adelaide and Perth, and as the Perth Telegraph authorities were waiting to receive long messages concerning the Melbourne Cup, it was essential that communication of some kind be established so that the situation could be understood at both ends. Mr. Caldecott telephoned the message to the Sydney GPO and subsequently received 3 messages from Perth and transmitted 3 messages all on behalf of the Telegraph authorities. The importance of sport, even in 1937, cannot be overestimated.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur licence test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications? The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3 p.m. until about 7 p.m. on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go, and who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3 p.m. until 7 p.m, and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5 p.m. until 9 p.m, we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code, or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3 p.m. every Tuesday, above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7 p.m, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTu newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqrsnet@gmail.com. That is cqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 27th of October, 2024. Today, I'm back on deck. I wasn't here last week, I'm afraid. I missed the cut last week. I was a little bit busy with other activities and doing an AGM for the Victor Mike Delta 750 network, the Austravel safety net. But I'm back here today and I hope you're all well. This week I have a freebie. It's a receiver, a Yaesu FRG7700 HF receiver, free to a good home. It's cosmetically okay or good, and you may pick up at Armadale, Mount Rikon, or Richon, I'm not too sure to say that. Mount something anyway, at Armadale. Phone Wayne, his phone number, 0450-140-155. Again, mobile 0450-140-155. Next group of items comes from Chris, VK6, India Oscar November. He has a Barrett SB250 HF SSB transceiver with cell call and tel call installed. It's a single box, not a remote head job, in good working order with Austravel VK737 as well, and Victor Mike Delta 750 frequencies and programmed. 275 is the asking price. In addition, he has a QMAC Sierra Papa Alpha 8400 13.8 volt 40 amp DC regulated power supply. Excellent condition, working order, $85. Also has an ICOM IC Tango 2 Hotel 2 meter FM 6 meter watt 6 watt handheld transceiver in good conditions, $20. There's a Bofang Uniform Victor 5 Romeo 2 meter 70 centimeter handheld with high capacity battery, $15. There's an OPEC SWR meter. Did I say that? Yes, I did. It's an OPEC SWR 2T meter. It's a little CB type SWR meter. Works okay and goes down to 40 meters. $5 for that. You may contact Chris, VK6 India Oscar November at gmail.com is his email address, or his phone number 0404 800 446. 0404 800 446. Next item I have for you is a Yaesu Fox Tango 2800 mic, asking $150. There's also a Kenwood Tango Sierra 660 HF 6 meter transceiver, $250. There's a power supply homebrew 13.8 volt for $30. There's a Mirage 2 meter amplifier, 35 watts. It's a Bravo 34G, asking $50. There's a Palomar amplifier, Tango X-Ray 225 HD, asking $50. There's an ATU homebrew, $50. There's also a handheld transceiver by Yaesu, Fox Tango 209 Oblique Romeo Hotel Plus Manual, $20. There's a Morse key for $20. Low pass filters, 0 to 30 megahertz, $10. And a mystery bag of bits and pieces, $10 for that. You may contact me. I'm selling these on behalf of David. Call sign forgotten at the moment. Contact Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor. BigPond.com is the email address. VK6X-Ray Victor at BigPond.com. Or phone 0427 000995, 0427 000995. As I mentioned last week, I'm having all sorts of trouble with my computer, and make good firewood at the moment. But if you, I would like to thank all the people who did update their email address to me, who want to get the email version each week. And if you are in the same boat, would like to get a copy of the helpline by email, please let me know at my address, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and I will put you on the list for the email version. And thank you. That's all I have for you. Thank you once again for your time and listening. Probably hear you again next week, or you may hear me next week if you're lucky or unlucky enough to hear me. 7-3 from me, VK6XRayVictor.
Hi there. It's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that NewsWest is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWest Weekly Podcast -Kilo Zulu 7 Yankee Charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.